You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. Time for another episode of Locked On Kings.
Continuing on with our pre-NBA draft coverage, today I'm going to be joined by Carl Berman from NetScouts Basketball. We're going to be talking about the Kings, what they can do at that 12 range, why he believes Devin Vassell will not be available for the Kings unless they move up, and the possibility of Patrick Williams being the right pick for Sacramento. All on today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Kings, your podcast hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season and all offseason. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with local and national experts, full coverage of the Sacramento Kings from January through December, this is the place for you, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I've been a Sacramento sports radio host for the last 6 years. Just wrapped up my sixth season covering the Kings, both as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist. I'm looking forward to covering my seventh season whenever that's going to happen, but the NBA draft and free agency happening in November makes next season feel a little more real. And as we get closer to November, of course, the NBA draft coverage is going to pick up. I spent all yesterday's episode talking about Devin Vassell, Aaron Nesmith, and Patrick Williams, three wings that potentially the Sacramento Kings will be interested in taking at number 12 overall. But the question is, will all three be available? Will any of the three make it to that number 12 spot? Today's conversation will give us a better idea of that. So here you go. My conversation with NetScouts Basketball managing partner and analyst, Carl Berman. With each passing day, we get closer to the 2020 NBA draft happening in November this year. Very odd circumstances, but still a lot of young men hopefully getting their NBA dreams realized. And the Sacramento Kings are looking at what they want to do with their multiple second-round picks. And, of course, the number 12 overall pick. Late lottery, but still the potential to get a decent player to help the Sacramento Kings moving forward. And to continue with our draft coverage and conversation, I am joined today by Carl Berman. He's a managing partner at NetScouts Basketball. He works on multiple mock drafts that have been featured by NBA.com. So, Carl, nice enough to take the time here on the Locked On Kings podcast to talk about the draft and his mock drafts. Carl, it's a pleasure to talk to you and have you on.
Great. Thanks for having me, Matt.
So let's jump into this. First off, I want to let you know what my desire is from the Sacramento Kings' perspective for this draft. And I started my conversation with CBS's Kyle Boone the same way. Essentially, at 12, I have realistic expectations. I'm also aware of the draft history of the Sacramento Kings. So I'm not looking for the Kings to hit an absolute home run in this draft. I'm not looking for the Kings to get an all-NBA rookie, a rookie of the year, a future all-star. Really not interested in that. If it happens, great, but that's not the standard that I'm holding this group to. I am wanting them to go out and use that number 12 pick specifically to bring in a player that right away will be able to make some sort of impact. It doesn't have to be drastic, but somebody who will get playing time and can help make a difference and help the Kings improve right away. The Kings have spent too many draft picks in the past bringing in potential talent that barely sees the floor in the first couple of seasons and ends up just fading away into the background. So I asked Kyle this. I'm going to ask you the same thing, Carl. At the number 12 range, how confident are you that the Kings could go and get a player that meets that goal for me?
Yeah, well, the draft isn't very strong. It's kind of deep on point guards and not particularly strong. It's probably one of the weakest drafts in the last, you know, 5-6 years. I think expectations may be a little high as far as, you know, finding someone that could slot in right away and do some good stuff for him. You know, we're looking at maybe a wing for Sacramento, and I've been going back and forth between Patrick Williams from Florida State and Sadiq Bey from Villanova for them. You know, I think out of those two, Bey is the more ready player, that someone that could come in and do more things and contribute more at the start, and Williams probably has more upside down the line, but may take a while to get going.
Boone in his mock draft had Devin Vassell going to Sacramento at number 12. I don't know if he's going to fall that far. You have him, at least in your most recent draft that I see here, going to New York at 8. He is probably the most intriguing potential wing for the Sacramento Kings to go out and get. For me, the top three names that we've talked about both on Locked On Kings and just seen around Kings Twitter and on social media has been Vassell, also Aaron Naismith that you have going 11 to San Antonio, and then the guy you mentioned, Patrick Williams. But let me ask you about Vassell. Do you think number 8, that's the spot that's more likely his range? It's more likely that he ends up top 10, even if it's late top 10, than he does falling all the way to 11, 12, 13 range?
Yeah, most likely. I've seen Vassell where we have him. I've also seen Okoro, you know, going to New York at 8 and Vassell going to Phoenix at 10. I don't think he'll necessarily last to 12 unless Sacramento would want to, try to move up somehow in a trade to nab him. But I do really like him. I think he's my favorite wing. I even like him more than Okoro. Most like Okoro more because of his defensive abilities. But I think Vassell is good on defense and has more of an offensive game at this point, and can develop into more of a scorer. So I really like him.
How concerned, if at all, are you with the latest video of his jump shot? Looks like he's changed it. He's always had a high release point, but this form doesn't seem to be similar to how he was shooting months ago when he was playing for Florida State. I saw Boone react in a negative way to it. Others have looked at it and cringed a little bit. But how do you over-evaluate things like that? Do you think it's worth noting and worth pointing out?
Yeah, a lot of people are talking about it. I teach a basketball scouting class, and one of the guys in the class brought it up, and we were looking at the video. And yeah, it's kind of cringeworthy, but I think once it gets to the NBA, I don't know who his shooting coach is now, but they'll get him going, shooting correctly. So I would think that may just be a phase for him, and maybe they'll change it up for him. But he's a good shooter as it was before, he changed his form. But I wouldn't make that much out of it because I think that, the NBA has the best shooting coaches and they'll get him going in the right direction no matter where he winds up, I think.
He took a big jump between his freshman and sophomore year, going all the way up to averaging 12.7 points per game, shot 41% from three-point range, and I appreciated that it wasn't just him taking one or two attempts per game. He was averaging three-plus attempts per game and still shooting 41%. Do you think that shooting percentage is sustainable? Are we looking at a most likely mid to high 30s at best shooting percentage for him, or do you think he could be a low 40s consistently player?
Yeah, I think he can be a really good shooter moving forward. Whenever, someone comes right into the NBA, there'll be a general drop off just because of distance and better defenders, obviously. I think starting off, he'll be in the mid to upper 30s, and moving forward, he could develop into a 40 plus shooter.
And to recap, you feel that it would require the Kings to move up in the draft in order to land Vassell. What is the highest you could see him going, and I guess the lowest that you could see him going, at least in your mind?
Yeah, I see him going in the top 10. I might see maybe, some people have had him as high as 6. I think that might be a stretch, but I think, the 8, 9, 10 range is probably the best bet for him.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast is brought to you by Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. The improved Built Bar is even more delicious. You've heard me call it the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. They have 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut flavors. Those flavors include cookies and cream, which is my wife's favorite, carrot cake, coconut almond, raspberry, my favorite mint brownie, double chocolate, orange, coconut, and more. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and they're easy to chew. And on top of tasting delicious, Built Bars are healthy. They're great for the health-conscious guy or girl. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low calorie and low sugar, but high protein and high fiber. They're also great for the keto diet. Here's an example of a bar for you. The peanut butter bar, 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams of net carbs. I mentioned the cookies and cream bar is my wife's favorite. She loves it because of the taste, of course, but also because of this. 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carbs. Right now, Built Bar has a great offer for you. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. That's all one word, LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off of your next order. Not your first order, your next order. So if you've taken advantage of a Locked On podcast offer for Built Bar before, do so again. Promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. So his teammate and partner at Florida State, Patrick Williams, younger, 19 years old, more of a project from what it sounds like, not really a refined offensive game, but has the potential defensively to turn into quite a juggernaut. And the Sacramento Kings have been looking for a long time for someone to come in and help their defense and really establish a defensive identity. Sacramento would love to draft somebody who you don't have to teach defensive effort to. You can teach them the fundamentals of the NBA, but you don't have to teach effort. Is Patrick Williams that guy?
Yeah, I think so. He's you know, was someone that we've really looked at and a lot, and does have quite a bit of upside. You know, he's long, he's got a 7-foot wingspan. He can shoot some now. I think he can, you know, develop that later on, but you know, everybody's looking for the type of player that can guard multiple positions, that's good in transition, and that can, you know, defend, you know, quite well. And, he's that type of guy. His offense needs to come around a little bit moving forward, but I think his upside is quite high. I think he could develop into a really nice player.
Reading about him and studying about him online, there have been a couple different quotes that have concerned me. I'll read both of them for you, but the first one is that a standout role player could be his ceiling. And that doesn't necessarily, I don't necessarily hate that because, again, I'm not really looking for a star for the Sacramento Kings. But if someone needs time to develop and their ceiling is a standout role player, how long does it take for him to get to that point? I guess, do you agree with that statement? Do you think he could be better than just a standout role player? And how many years in your mind does he need to develop to get to that point?
Yeah, I think he could be a starter, you know, down the line. But I think it's going to take him, you know, 2-3 years to develop into that, you know, get all that, his offense into gear and to develop that well. But I think he can play some and be in the rotation, you know, right from the start. I just think his upside is a little bit higher. You know, Sadiq Bey, you know, is another player, same type of player, who's a little bit more developed offensively at this point. I don't think his upside is as high as Williams. It's not as athletic, but he knows how to play, he can shoot. So he would be someone that, if Sacramento wanted someone that can come in and do more immediately, he might be a good fit there as well.
The other quote that concerns me, and this is just based off of the draft history of the Kings, not so much him, says he likely will be a player that really benefits from a good development situation or may not make it with his first team in a wrong situation. And we know Sacramento has struggled to develop talent in the past. How much do you agree, I guess, with that statement?
Yeah, I think that's true with a lot of these guys. I mean, they're coming in, they're young. He was just a freshman, so you're talking about a 19-year-old kid, and he's going to need good development people with him to help him, you know, take his game forward. So I think that's true with a lot of these guys because they're all are young and they do need to develop. So I kind of do agree with that.
From the range of 11 to 13, you have basically three wings, one more of a shooting guard in Naismith at 11, then you have Patrick Williams at 12 to Sacramento and Sadiq Bey at 13. Assuming Naismith does go at 11, what is it that made you put Williams, I guess, ahead of Sadiq Bey going to Sacramento? From your understanding of the Kings, why do you think they'd pick Williams over Bey?
It was more of I don't know what they're going to pick, you know, so I mean, it's more from a development standpoint. So I think that Williams is better, has better potential down the line than Sadiq Bey does. I think Sadiq Bey is better if they wanted someone just to come in and get more time and contribute immediately, then he might be a better pick. if they want someone with better potential down the line, then I would take Williams. So if that's what they're looking for, and you know, I haven't spoken to them, so I don't know what their plans are. But for, you know, if I was a GM, I would select the player that has better future down the line.
Again, you have Naismith going number 11 to San Antonio. He's interesting because he seems like a player that would theoretically fit into what the Kings are trying to do. Makes a lot of sense for new Kings general manager Monty McNair coming from the Houston Rockets. We know how much they value shooting there and how much analytics values shooting. And it also is interesting if the Kings are planning on moving on from Buddy Hield. Naismith, while probably not at Buddy Hield's level right away, would not be a horrible replacement, but 52% from three-point range, hard to believe that's even close to sustainable at the NBA level. Is he really as good of a shooter as these numbers make him out to be, or did he just have a red-hot year during a very short season, I guess?
Yeah, his season was shortened because of injury, and so that's part of it, and a lot of his games were against, you know, non-conference competition, so competition wasn't quite as good as if he had played a complete SEC season. So the numbers are inflated, but he's the best shooter coming out for sure. So, you know, as far as shooting goes, he's the best guy.
The big frustration with the elite shooting of Buddy Hield here in Sacramento is that he doesn't play much on the defensive end. He doesn't have too much of defensive effort. How about Naismith in terms of a defender? Do you think he has the potential to develop, not into a great defender, but at least someone who's not going to get you killed on a nightly basis and someone who you have to decide, is his scoring worth the points that he's giving up?
Yeah, I think Naismith can do well on defense. His body is strong. He's, you know, legit 215 or so. He's long. So, yeah, I think he can do more on defense than Hield has done in the past. Moving forward, the issue that we have with Naismith, you know, coming in, is that he's a little, you know, he doesn't really look at the court real well when he gets the ball. He's more just keyed on scoring. So he needs to, you know, develop that side of his game a little bit better.
Another quick pause here as I tell you about another of our wonderful sponsors here of Locked On Kings. That's Roman. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually we just brush it off or blame ourselves, saying things like, I lost my mojo, or we avoid it altogether with excuses like, I had a long day at work, or sorry, honey, I'm just not feeling it. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about with a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication. It's simple, it's safe, and it's totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. The whole process is very straightforward, it's simple, and it's discreet. You can get started simply by going to getroman.com/XXX and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to getroman.com/LockedOnNBA today. If approved, you'll get $15 off of your first order of ED treatment. That's getroman.com/LockedOnNBA. getroman.com/LockedOnNBA. I want to get away from the Kings now. This draft is interesting because there's not really a consensus number one overall pick. It looks like you have LaMelo Ball is the number one overall pick going to the Minnesota Timberwolves. What's your thought process behind that decision, and anything, do you expect to be surprised, I guess, with the top three or four picks in this draft?
Well, I think both Minnesota and Golden State are going to shop and see what they can get for the picks. None of these guys this year at the top of the draft are slam dunks. They all have issues. You know, Ball has great court vision. You know, great passing ability, is really good size for a point guard. But he has defensive liabilities right now. His shot selection is poor. His shooting, you know, as a whole, from distance hasn't been real good. You know, James Wiseman only played three games, so you have a really small, you know, size of you know, games to look at for him. So that's a risk. Then, you know, bigs are kind of undervalued in the NBA. And Anthony Edwards, the other, you know, player generally rated in the top three. You know, we have a lot of issues with him. You know, he looks great. He's 6'5", 6'9", wingspan. He's got range on his shot, but his shot really wasn't very good last year. And shot selection was terrible. And his effort on defense was really bad. He was almost, you know, always the last guy you're running up court on defense in a lot of cases. So there's issues with all those guys. I think, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see Minnesota or Golden State shop the pick and see what they can get as far as a veteran to boost their team that way.
Anyone in this first round or even second round that you would say this is a diamond in the rough? I think this guy has the potential to turn into something really solid, and 2-3 years from now we'll talk about him as the biggest steal, I guess, from the 2020 draft.
Yeah, there are a few guys. Near the top, I really like Onyeka Okongwu from USC. You know, I'm in Oregon. I've seen him a lot through Pac-12 games. He's just real active. He's probably going to be the best defensive, you know, big coming out. He's got a decent shot. He's got great jumping ability. His second jump is really strong, and, you know, he's an excellent rebounder, shot blocker. So I really love him. You know, I think just based on what someone could do in the future, he could be, you know, the best player in this draft. You know, we're an international company, so we look at a lot of the international kids. And Denny Avia from Israel is going to get drafted probably top five. Outside of him, there's two point guards, Killian Hayes, who I really like. He's a lefty, 6'5", pretty strong. And what I really liked about him, he's playing in this year, past year in the top league in Germany, and he's 19 years old, and he was like the guy for his team. He was the leader, telling everyone what to do, playing on a team with, you know, 25 and 30 year olds. So I like him moving forward. He needs to improve his offensive game some, but just from a leadership and a physical standpoint, I really like him a lot.
And then finally, how about guys with red flags that you absolutely would avoid if you were a general manager? When I asked Kyle Boone this question, he said Anthony Edwards. He would stay away from Edwards just because of the concerns with him. Is there anyone in this draft that you're like, nope, not touching him, I'm not interested?
Yeah, there's some issues with Cole Anthony, just because, you know, we're trying to figure out whether he can be a pure point guard or not. And he tends to be a volume shooter, so not real effective in an offensive standpoint. So I wouldn't say I wouldn't take him, but I probably wouldn't take him as high as, you know, some of the other mocks have. A couple of the Arizona kids we weren't crazy about, like Nico Mannion. You know, he might wind up being a good secondary point guard, but he really didn't impress us a lot this year. We saw him at the Nike Hoop Summit before he went to Arizona, and he looked great. And then during the season, his shot just didn't look good, and he really disappointed us. Originally, we had him and maybe as a top 15 pick, and now I've moved him to the, you know, kind of the higher end of the second round. You know, other than that, Jaden McDaniels is an interesting guy because he's another one who, you know, at a high school, everybody was saying, you know, he's a top five, top 10 pick, and then he went to Washington and really played really poorly. And it seemed like his attitude wasn't good as far as, you know, getting taken out of the game or how he reacted to calls and things like that. So that was kind of a flag for us, and we moved him down into the second round. And now we've heard that some of his workouts might have improved his status a bit. So he's another interesting guy with, the physical tools, but he hasn't really turned that into, showing that he knows how to play yet.
Carl, keep up the great work with all the stuff that you do at NetScouts Basketball. I look forward to reading your mock drafts and the continuing coverage as we get closer to the draft itself. And I appreciate you joining me on Locked On Kings. It was a pleasure.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me, and stay well.
Was a pleasure having Carl on. If you want to respond to anything we talked about today on Locked On Kings, please do so via Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK. You can also find Carl on Twitter if you want to ask him a question at Carl Berman, Berman. You can also email me at any time, mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. If you're not on Twitter, would love to get in contact with you there. Tomorrow we are taking a break from the NBA draft conversation as I'm going to be heading to Indiana, well, at least over the phone or a Zoom online press conference, to talk with Tony East, one of the hosts of the Locked On Indiana Pacers podcast. We'll discuss whether or not the Kings could or would trade for either Victor Oladipo or Miles Turner, or even both. Please join me for that tomorrow. Also, if you have a second, and if you haven't already, please leave a review for this Locked On Kings podcast. Y'all have been killing it lately with the reviews. Thank you so much. It helps our rating go up. If you want to leave a review, best place to do it is on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. Please hit 5 stars, but truly only if you think this podcast is worthy of that rating. Make sure you are being genuine with this podcast, as we are always trying to improve. There's a little comment section as well for you to share any criticism that you have, any ideas, feedback, whatever you want to say about the podcast, please say it there. And hopefully that will be used to attract more fantastic and loyal listeners like yourself. Thank you so much for listening today. I will talk with you tomorrow. Until then, my name is Matt George. You have been listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast,
part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.